Welcome to today's EN Essentials, Employment Network Marketing. It's all about relationships. If we could go to the next slide, please. Today's EN Essentials program will shine a spotlight on what truly drives success in ticket to work programming. It's about relationships and relationships marketing. Today, you're going to hear from a newer EN and one that's more experienced as well, and they're going to share their practical strategies that they've used to leverage partnerships to engage more ticket holders and build stronger partnerships through the notion of collaborations, or what we'll label today as relationship marketing. We'll look at those relationships and how they've impacted their stakeholders and expanded relationships to other agencies. In doing so, we'll also have a moderated Q&A. But before we get into our guest today, I want to go into a full agenda, and we have that up on the screen. Importantly, we'll start out with some logistics and specific introductions of all of our presenters, and then we'll move into our first update that we'll receive about the ticket evaluation. Ellie Stinden is with us from Social Security again today, and she'll be able to provide you with an update as we have been keeping you apprised. Following that, we'll have immediately a Q&A session for any questions you have to ask Ellie. Then we'll dive into the heart of the content today with EN Marketing. It's all about relationships with our guest EN panelist, and then we'll have a moderated discussion and open that up for a Q&A dialogue with all of you. Finally, we'll have some closing remarks. We are scheduled to end at 2:30 Eastern time, so we have just under 90 minutes together today. We appreciate your time. Let's go to the next slide, and we'll cover those logistics. As usual, TPM is recording and capturing the transcript from today's meeting, and we'll make it available on the Your Ticket to Work website, that the learning events page, where we commonly put these EN Essentials recordings and related materials. We do encourage you to ask questions in our Essentials platform. That allows you to engage through MS Teams in the chat section. We also are providing closed captioning. This is available for participants who join via the MS Teams application or by using a closed caption link that will be provided inside the meeting chat. To turn on closed captions in MS Teams, we encourage you to go to the three ellipses at the top of the Teams window and then click on More. You can scroll down to the list that says language and speech and click on turn on live captions. You can use those automated captions from that point forward. If you choose to use the link option, please cut and paste the link into the browser of your choice, and it will open up a separate window so you can view those captions. And last, per the Ticket Program Agreement, Part 3, Section 11, Subsection I, ENs are not permitted to record this meeting nor capture the transcript. So thanks for reviewing those logistics with me, and we look forward to your participation today. Let's go to the next slide, please. As I mentioned, I'm Derek Shields. I serve as the moderator. I'm a senior EN development and training manager with the Ticket Program Manager, and I'm pleased to represent our EN Essentials production team today. We're joined, as I mentioned, by several speakers and panelists. First, we'll have Ellie Stinnett, an economist with the Social Security Administration's Office of Disability Policy, provide her ticket evaluation update. And then we'll get into the relationship marketing, and we'll start out with Elisa Tees. Elisa is a national manager of absence management services for Gen X services. And then we have a duo with us from OMSI. Magali De Jesus is a Ticket to Work program supervisor with Alianza Municipal de Servicios Integrados, Inc. I did it, OMSI. And she's joined by her colleague, Orlando Rivera, an assistant administrator for strategic communications, also with OMSI. So we're delighted to have all three of these EN representatives with us to share their stories and engage with you today. And with those introductions, if we could go to the next slide, please. It is now my pleasure to turn this over to Ellie Stinnett for the update on the ticket evaluation. Ellie, over to you, please.
Thanks, Derek. Can we go to the next slide, please? So as you all may already know, SSA is evaluating the Ticket to Work program to help us better understand the best practices and identify potential improvements. In the next few weeks, SSA is going to be sending out a survey to each EN as a part of this evaluation. The survey will be a chance for us to learn from your experience and expertise about what's working well and where improvements can be made. The program contact at each EN will receive the invitation to the survey. It will come via email and also through the USPS mail. And that email address listed there, ttwevaluation@mathematica-npr.com, will be where the email comes from. So if you have a safe sender list with your email service, please add that email address to it so that you can receive the link to the survey. And if not, just we will let you know when the survey launches and be sure to check your spam folder if you didn't receive the link. We're offering a $40 gift card to each provider that completes the survey. You'll be asked near the end of the survey for the mailing address of where we can send that card and also have an opportunity to decline it if your organization rules prohibit you accepting that. In addition to the survey, we are conducting qualitative interviews with beneficiaries to ask them about their experiences. If one of your clients reports that they have been invited to an interview, please encourage them to participate. We are also offering $40 gift cards for participating in those interviews. If you have any questions about these activities, I think we have some time after the slide for Q&A. And also you can email me or my colleague, Seth Hartig. Our email addresses are listed there on the slide and also in the chat. All right, any questions?
Thank you so much, Ellie, for the update. If we could go forward one slide, please. As a reminder for questions, you can use questions through the MS Teams chat section or via telephone. Press star 5 to raise your hand. We'll call on you and unmute your phone and then ask you to press star 6, a two-step process. If joining via Teams, you could use raise your hand and we'll call on you as you and unmute you. So I'll ask my colleagues just to check in with Brittany and Catherine if we have any questions for Ellie.
Hi, Derek. This is Catherine. I do not see any raised hands at this time, sir.
This is Brittany, Derek. There are no questions in the chat.
Okay. Well, we appreciate Ellie, your presentation and update on the ticket evaluation. And as mentioned, you can send additional questions if they arise or if you just choose not to ask them in this forum to eleanor.stinnett@ssa.gov or to her colleague Seth at seth.hartig@ssa.gov. And this information will be provided to you after the event as well. Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you.
All right, and with that, we'll proceed to our next portion of today's session, EN Marketing. It's all about relationships. And before we begin with the panel, we wanted to bring forward some information to, let's say, set the stage about relationship marketing. So I'm going to provide a few remarks that will set us and kind of shift our mindset from daily operations into, well, what is relationship marketing and what are some tactics that we see successfully work with ENs? So with that, let's go to the next slide, please. At the highest level, when we think about relationship marketing, the notion of identifying who your key stakeholders are and how we're going to message and engage with them is an important part of the business planning process, but then actually forming those relationships to see where organizations can complement and supplement one another will assist in really significantly expanding reach. It really doesn't matter the nature of the business. It's just part of a good strategy. And in this case, of course, that could be a reach to find a pipeline of potential ticket holders that would fit well into your services and supports. So when we think about that, it would impact the employment outcomes for the intentions of the ticket program itself. And we have three ways here that it largely works. And these are through leveraging shared audiences, strengths, and capabilities. So we have a common mission, and perhaps we're doing services that can overlap in that regard. Of course, expanding funding, and during evolving times for funding strategies, this is always critical. And with that, funding can come a variety of service options, and obviously different employment opportunities can come from those as well. So perhaps in the stitching together of a variety of service areas, you can expand employment opportunities and employment outcomes through partnerships. And last, contributing to a ticket holder's initial and ongoing employment success over the continuum of disability or employment services. So thinking of that longer arc of need from pre-employment to onboarding and employment to retention and advancement. If some of these things aren't in, let's say, your wheelhouse, then finding a partnership to cover that broader arc will allow you to be perhaps more of a branded one-stop shop and evolve your value proposition as an organization. So leveraging, expanding, and contributing will allow relationships to help you expand your capabilities through partnerships. So let's go to the next slide. With that general mindset in place, we start to think about, well, all right, I want to do that, but how do I select partners that are actually going to assist in me obtaining those outcomes? And so here we have four different ways that we recommend doing that. This starts by identifying partners that allow you to access new audiences and resources. So sometimes if we collaborate with the same type of service organization, we won't be able to tap the new pipelines. So it's examining, well, you know, I've been working with traditional service provider, traditional populations. Let's say I'm working inside of the SSI community, those receiving SSI, and they have specific disability characteristics and employment interests. Well, we can look for new pipelines there to expand the number that I'm reaching. And we could also say, well, what other individuals might be going through similar transitions and potentially expand that to non-SSI individuals, but perhaps are still experiencing transition support needs. So we create a blended strategy. Another example could be finding partners that would blend into, let's say, disabled veteran services if you're not in that area. This would be a new audience, but many of the services and supports might apply and support those individuals. So expanding that pipeline there, looking for partners to augment your work. Next, look for alignment and mission values and target communities. And I really like this one. When we think about our mission, the ENs are fantastic at this. We work with so many of you, seeing how you're really focused and where you're growing your audiences. And sometimes when you find a values-driven organization, like all of you are, you can find good complementary partners through finding like mission-driven organizations that have value systems in place. You're going to be able to figure out how to work together a little bit better and assist in targeting communities. So when is it that you've approached those individuals to say, look, we support ticket holders and we bring these services as part of our value proposition? It seems like it complements you and your work. And then third, consider ways that collaboration will result in mutual benefit. And the notion of collaboration works is the epitome of what we're getting at here in partnership marketing. We can build a bigger tent that will serve more together. We have like mission and value supports, and by doing this, we can each find a mutually beneficial outcome that's helping more people on their journey to financial independence. And then last, analyze results of collaborative efforts for expanding reach and improving results. What have we agreed to do? What are the outcomes from doing that? And what's the business case for potentially expanding it? And sometimes we look at, well, it didn't work, but well, how about learning from it and evolving it before we walk away from the partnership? What we know is that partnerships work, and that expanding relationships to people you haven't worked yet can be on the edge, a frontier-like experience. But when you get to the other side of it, you can each benefit from that experience. So we have selecting partners. We have one more phase, and that's the example of those partners on the next slide, if we can proceed one further. There we go. Thank you. So here we have four, and these examples walk through, and we'll highlight a couple, but we're really here today to hear from our two ENs about their examples. So first of all, working with another organization to offer a new service to complement the needs of a ticket holder. And we have two examples here. So partnering with an organization that brings a strength in to complement what you do. And here we have benefits counseling and on-the-job training services. Now, benefits counseling in itself, we know through some research that when that's embedded or added as a complement or supplement to the services and supports of an EN, that the outcomes improve. Benefits counseling gives ticket holders more confidence in deciding to participate in their participation and on the employment side and outcomes, or on the job training where people are learning while they're working. Another great example. Next, market your free services to other disability organizations outside of the Social Security employment network sphere to provide ongoing support to ticket holders. There's literally thousands of service providers across the country engaging with the disability community, and yet they don't have your specific training, skill sets, and connection into Social Security and return to work. So here's a supplemental offering that you could bring to them, and it would help those ticket holders that are on track to receive a substantial gainful activity level earnings. You're bringing the value to the partner. They maybe haven't been thinking about the value you offer. And third, combine your expertise with another entity to meet requirements for a funding opportunity. And as we see the pathways of funding shift from year to year, this is a great opportunity to potentially revisit. Perhaps in the past you looked at federal or state level funding opportunities, and now you're examining foundation or grant opportunities. By partnering, you can bring forward innovative ideas that these funders will be interested in supporting our underemployed or harder to employ return to work pipelines in the country. I encourage you to consider those. And our last example is join with stakeholders to plan and implement an activity. So you drive an event or a job fair or a media campaign. And I know we're going to hear some examples of that one during our panel time today. So that's our setup. At the end of this, we're going to share the employment, the relationship marketing techniques that come out of our marketing guide and the supportive workbook. If you haven't experienced or read those, we'll be giving you those links to ensure you could dive much further into the marketing model along with the relationship examples that we have inside of it. But for now, let's proceed to the next slide and the next portion of our event, EN strategies to engage with ticket holders and partners. And at this time, if we could proceed to the next slide, I am going to turn it over to Elisa, who I previously introduced. Elisa with GenX Services is here. If we could have Elisa turn on her camera and microphone, she'll provide an overview of GenX Services and some highlights, and then we'll get into the rest of the content. Elisa, welcome.
Thank you, Derek. So let's talk about Gen X's company foundation. Gen X Services was founded in 1978 in Wayne, Pennsylvania, with a clear focus on helping individuals navigate complex disability and workers' compensation challenges. Over the years, we've grown into one of the nation's leading managed care organizations, building deep expertise in disability management and workers' compensation services. What really distinguishes Gen X is our specialized Social Security unit. This team is dedicated to helping beneficiaries manage the often overwhelming SSDI process. Pair that with our comprehensive return to work services, and you can see how our foundation has always been centered on supporting individuals through every stage of recovery and employment. Next slide, please. So why did we become an employment network? In 2021, we became a national employment network. So we do service nationwide, all virtually. This decision wasn't simply a growth initiative. It was a natural extension of our mission. The Ticket to Work program aligned perfectly with what we already do. It offered financial incentives that made sense for our organization, complemented our existing services, and created new business development opportunities. Most importantly, it strengthened our ability to help people achieve true self-sufficiency by addressing both medical recovery and meaningful employment. Our employment network model is a traditional one with a full suite of supports. We provide career guidance, resume development, job-seeking skills training, interview preparation, job search assistance, ongoing job stabilization and retention support, and also benefits counseling, work incentives and benefits counseling. Everything is designed to help participants succeed, not just in finding work, but in sustaining it. Next slide, please. So building through partnerships, our growth as an employment network has been powered by relationships we've spent years developing. We've leveraged our insurance carrier partnerships to create referral pathways, particularly for individuals on long-term disability who may be ideal candidates for the Ticket to Work program. In addition, we form strong collaborations with government entities. By working closely with state vocational rehabilitation agencies and social security offices, we've created a coordinated, seamless support system. These partnerships ensure beneficiaries don't feel like they're navigating multiple systems on their own. We help connect the dots for them. And next slide, please. To reach potential participants, we've developed a highly personalized outreach strategy. We recognize that every beneficiary's situation is different, so our communication takes into account factors like disability type, work history, and individual readiness to return to work. Rather than simply promoting services, we focus on education and trust building. We offer webinars, develop comprehensive guides that address common fears and misconceptions, and share specialized web resources. We also maintain a visible presence at professional conferences to build and strengthen relationships, as well as foreign partnerships. Our multi-channel approach allows us to meet people where they are and support them at their own pace, nurturing those relationships until they're ready to take that next step towards employment. Next slide, please. So in closing, this model works because it builds on what we already do best. We leverage the expertise of our disability management teams, our existing infrastructure, and a seamless continuum of services that support individuals as they move from disability to employment. With streamlined onboarding and strong performance tracking, we are able to respond quickly, refine our outreach, and deliver consistent results. The outcome is a scalable, sustainable approach that helps people achieve greater independence while driving measurable impact for our organization. Thank you so much for your time today. I will pass the baton back to Derek to introduce our next speaker.
Thank you so much, Elisa. I really like those five key takeaways there. In fact, I think any business would like those five key takeaways and could kind of frame them into a lot of different work. It's a good framework to consider, and we look forward to diving more deeply into Gen X experiences with relational marketing very shortly. But as you said, now I'm going to welcome our colleagues and move forward to the next slide, where we will welcome Orlando and Magali from OMSI, who I introduced earlier. If we could have you turn on your camera and your microphone, Magali and Orlando will review their EN's description and into some of the specifics around their relationship marketing work. And they are coming to us from Puerto Rico. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Derek. Thank you. We're very excited to join you and share not only theory, but practical strategies we have used at NMC to drive results. Alianza Municipal de Servicios Integrados, Inc., AMSI, in English is Municipal Alliance of Integrated Services, is a nonprofit organization offering employment and training services in Puerto Rico since 1991. We are a local area workforce. We manage 9 American job centers in Puerto Rico, offering programs under the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. Also, we serve youth, adults, dislocated workers, veterans, SSDI recipients, among other populations. And we also offer recruitment services for employers.
Next slide, please. AMSI is an employment network since 2006. Our headquarters is in Caguas, Puerto Rico. We offer in-person services in Puerto Rico and in the U.S. Virgin Islands. We have assigned more than 1,200 tickets, and our geographic service area is in 78 municipalities in Puerto Rico. These municipalities are coastal or in the mountains or in the valleys, each with the different mindsets, skill sets, and occupational needs. We also serve the U.S. Virgin Islands, which is St. Thomas, St. Croix, and St. John, where we visit monthly and also give remote services.
Next slide, please. So let's talk about marketing strategies that we have been using for the past years and past months. We use these strategies to expand participation, to increase program visibility, and also to reduce fears. The first one is what we call the Ticket to Work Route Initiative. And by partnering with local governments, American Job Centers, nonprofit organizations, we've been coordinating orientations, events, in different communities throughout the 78 municipalities in Puerto Rico and also the U.S. Virgin Islands. We've built up stronger alliances and relationships, and we have been increasing AMSI's credibility and also a recognition factor, not only for AMSI, but also for the Ticket to Work program. The second strategy is our testimonial video campaigns. These are real life testimonials that are relatable to potential clients. And stories speak louder than ads. We believe that when beneficiaries share their experiences, they inspire others. And also they give faces and voices to the program. Also, people trust people. And stories bring credibility and break down fears. It makes Ticket to Work, as I said earlier, marketing strategy is the use of social media and live feeds, Facebook, Instagram, and among others, reach potential clients through relatives, friends, and communities. And we have an impact to the whole network of beneficiaries and potential beneficiaries because stories don't stop at videos. We take them to Facebook, we take them to Instagram, to YouTube, and also to live feeds. And why live feeds in Facebook and Instagram? We use them also to showcase stories and to increase the program awareness too. Sometimes we invest 10 minutes in a Facebook Live and we can reach out to 100 potential beneficiaries.
Next slide, please. Other strategies that we have used to establish relationships is we have weekly radio programs. These radio programs are local and regional stations that connect us to different sectors. These sectors can be business, nonprofit organization, government agency, different population and demographics in different regional geographical regions. We also have established an annual media tour. In this media tour, we have a massive coverage. This is where we do our greatest or our biggest investment, because we use, during this media tour, we use diverse channels on print, online, on TV, radio, and that results in massive coverage in different time slots. We also have a weekly call center. And in this weekly call center, we focus on strategic outreaches that involves direct contact through emails and phone calls. And one of the particularities of this call center is that we have different staff with suitability that comes from the 8 different localities that we have, and they come to one central place, and is we are all focused on outreaching to beneficiaries. And the last strategy that we use is service. When you give great service, that leads us to refer from both participants and employers. And what kind of referrals are this? A beneficiary can refer to another beneficiary, an employer can refer another employer, or a beneficiary can refer to an employer, or an employer can refer to a beneficiary. So in all these strategies that we are establishing relationships, and we are all having the results that are win-win.
Next slide, please. Okay. So what are our key takeaways? Community collaboration drives engagement, it sure does. Also, real stories inspire real action. Consistency is also key in the media outreach strategy. Also, personalized outreach yield results, and relationship marketing drives impact. So we have here 4 words for you: collaboration, consistency, credibility, and relationships. That's what has been driving results for us through marketing strategies. Thank you so much for your attention, and let's get back to you, Derek.
Thank you both for your presentation. Keep your camera on. What we're gonna do now is ask Elisa to come back in. If we could go forward one more slide. At this point, we're gonna open up the panel discussion, a little bit less presentation, more discussion. And why don't we just all stay on screen from here on out. I have a few questions to start with, Elisa, and then we'll bring in Orlando and Magali, and then all of us will have an exchange. Before I forget, though, I'm telling you, if you're not following OMSI PR on Facebook, then you're not one of 45,000 followers. So I'm very impressed by their consistency to communications on Facebook. 45,000 followers is quite remarkable. So, with that, I'm going to start out with some questions on our panel for Elisa. So welcome back, and thanks for your overview of GenX, so people have the framing of your service model and some of the partnering strategies that you have. While OMSI just described that they've been around for about 20 years, Gen X in the world of Ticket to Work is more about 2 years old in experience, but you're growing rapidly. So we wanted to talk to you about kind of how come the success has happened in a short time, and can you share, you know, what were some of the strategies about ramping up so quickly?
Way too much credit. We've been around for about 5 years.
Okay.
We've been able to do it in 2. We started in 2021, but sure. So our EN ramped up quickly because it was built already on a very strong existing foundation. So our organization already had a well-established Social Security unit that supported long-term disability beneficiaries through the SSDI application and appeals process. And that team worked closely with individuals at a pivotal moment when the benefits were actually being awarded and had already established their trust and credibility. So when the beneficiaries were approved for SSDI, our developers would introduce the idea of return to work as an option, not an expectation. They would explain that our company also oversees a return to work program designed to provide support if and when someone felt ready to explore employment. And because these conversations happened organically and were framed as an additional support, not pressure, it resonated well with the claimants. So if someone expressed interest, our EN team would follow up, explain the Ticket to Work program in more detail, and if they were interested, we would enroll them. So that warm handoff combined with an existing customer base already aligned with Social Security programs allowed us to grow very quickly.
Thanks, Elisa. That, by establishing trust with somebody who's basically beginning their beneficiary experience as a claimant, they're also learning about the idea of returning to work right away. And that's an important element that we know, too. The sooner that somebody learns of that, then the more likely they are willing to try it. So when you talk about the expansion itself, and I'd like to explore a little bit of the types of organizations or groups that you partner with. That's the essence of relationship marketing in our theme today. And you know, they can range from an activity like a conference or a webinar to access those people. But also to talk a little bit about how does what you do connect to the broader disability community? When folks from kind of the community itself think about your services, how does your brand get engaged with them too? Your thoughts?
Expansion has been driven largely by relationships. By consistently advocating for our ticket holders and building trust, many of our participants began referring friends, family members, or peers. So word of mouth played a major role early on. As we grew, we began intentionally leveraging existing relationships with other agencies and professionals already serving the disability community, such as disability advocates, benefits counselors, vocational providers, and attorneys. We focus on partnership opportunities that are mutually beneficial and mission aligned. And in addition to the one-on-one outreach, we do participate in professional conferences, attend community events, and collaborate on webinars where our target audience already engages. We've also developed materials that are written in clear, accessible language and tailored specifically to beneficiaries who may be hesitant about work due to benefit concerns. So these efforts help ensure that our message is approachable, accurate, and relevant.
So I'm going to ask a follow-up question there. Like the royal we, sometimes for an EN who's doing this work, can be a small number of people or it could be a larger number of people. Can you share with us the size of the team that's doing this work that you just described?
Absolutely. So I oversee the team, so carry a small caseload of my own. So in addition to me, there are, I believe, seven other Ticket to Work specialists on our team that are located throughout the U.S. Like I said, we do serve nationwide and we serve virtually. So we have specialists from Hawaii to Ohio to Kentucky to Florida, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Arkansas. So we do have a nice, robust team of highly trained Ticket to Work specialists and vocational counselors that can provide these services and also develop that type of, you know, trust building relationship with the ticket holder to whom they're assigned.
Thanks. I think the context helps some others listening. It says, okay, we're not aligned like that, so we shouldn't have the same expectations. Or if we are, right, then we could be doing similar things. And a final question, Elisa, for you before we return to our OMSI colleagues. When you consider kind of your connection to the field offices, and this could be Social Security field offices or other federal agencies that you're connected with, how do you successfully interact with them? Any suggestions?
Again, the team and I, we have found through experience that successful interaction with local Social Security field offices is rooted really in professionalism, clarity, and respect for their role. So we make a point to understand SSA processes thoroughly and ensure that our documentation is complete and timely. So when questions arise, we communicate clearly and keep inquiries focused and efficient. We also strive to build a rapport by being responsive and courteous and recognizing the high workload that the SSA staff often manages. So by consistently providing accurate information and demonstrating that our program supports Social Security's goals without creating additional burden, we've been able to establish positive, productive working relationships with the local offices.
Thanks for that, Elisa. I really appreciate your responses and the importance of understanding that there is a large workload and that we have to have training around proper protocol and professional communications. It's pretty key for all of us to work together successfully. So with that, I'm going to turn over to Orlando and Magali now, a few customized questions. And Elisa, you're welcome to stay on, and then we'll be back for more questions for everybody. So returning to OMSI, I'm still appreciating your social media work and appreciated your key takeaways there too. I have a couple of questions. Obviously, your approach is different, and it's nice to have Gen X's model, and then we have OMSI's model, because they can really give some blended different ideas for our attendees today. When you think about your extensive campaign that's in place through collaborations, your reach is significant. It's across a Commonwealth, and it's to other U.S. Virgin Islands. So geographically, it's quite diverse too. But you have local governments, you have social media, you have media. It's a diverse mix. Kind of how did you start that? And what's the story behind how it evolved to get here today? You didn't start with 45,000 people on Facebook. So dial it back and talk about how it ramped up and what you learned along the way.
We had to, in order for us to be the EN that the beneficiaries were called turn to, we had to come to the realization that we had to be known. So we had to have a campaign, a media campaign directed of everywhere that we had the opportunity to have a presence. That's what we was going to be. We was going to be in job fairs. We was going to be in governmental events. We was going to be in the media, on the radio, on the TV. And the reason we had to do be known is for people to start establishing a trust with us. Because if the person that doesn't trust you, they're not going to give you their life. They're not going to give you their ticket. They're not going to put their occupational needs in your hands. So it was important for us first to be known for we could start building up a credibility. That was one of the once we started getting into media, what we decided to do is start giving the correct information for we could start breaking down those myths, the myths that the population already had diffused among them, and is that the beneficiaries cannot work because they receive Social Security disability insurance. So we had to let them know that yes, you can work. That yes, there is a program where you could do this the Ticket to Work program has been established to give you that opportunity for you could give yourself the opportunity to transition into the work and into the workplace. So we had to start educating the population in Puerto Rico for they could know that this is what's available, because not only did they not know that they couldn't work, a lot of them say, okay, so we can work, but we could only work 4 hours a day. So we had to start educating them that no, there's a lot of opportunities for you. You could work full time. You could work perhaps professional services. You could even do your own business. I mean, there's a lot of diversity in the Ticket to Work program. So we had to let ourselves know. We had to deal with the beneficiaries, and we also was dealing with the employers, because as we have a lot of relationship with employers, we had to educate employers. This is one of the things that we are focusing on right now, is to let the employer know you could give a beneficiary an opportunity to work for you, because you're going to have somebody that has skill sets, somebody that's loyal, somebody that wants to come back into the workforce, especially now that we're having such a challenge with the workforce to get people back to work. There is a population that wants to do this. And if you give them the opportunity, you even could get a credit exemption for your company. So a lot of what got us started is the lack of information or the wrong information that was out there. So we had to educate the population. So we had to know what is available for us. These are the means, the communication methods that are available to us, and we're gonna use all of them. Whatever new stuff is coming up, this is where we're gonna get. This is where we're gonna go. But this is what we're gonna use.
Thank you, Magali. I appreciate the description. And as you scaled, you talk about starting with myth busting and training and education and awareness. What is fact and what is possible? When you did that as OMSI in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, did you find a connection with the disability community and describe that? Like, how do you work with the disability community, as in disability service organizations, to build that trust? And then what does that look like today?
Well, when we, one of the things that we do was have empathy. I mean, we listen to the beneficiary and see what skills that they have, what experiences they have, what is it that they are able to do from now, from this moment forward, and how we could identify the job offers, and we will come through. It was not like, give me information and then nothing will happen. We will actually identify the job opportunities and connect them with the right skill sets that they could implement their experience in. And we became a person that they will come to. And once they were in the job, they were working, we was going to accompany them through the different phases that the program have, calling them monthly, and letting them know if there was something else that they needed, if everything was going fine with them, if they needed other job opportunities, even when they were experiencing new ones already. So we was there for them, making sure that when they call, we answer. When they needed us, we was there. Whatever situation that had to do with employment they needed, we was going to provide it for them.
And also for us, it worked a lot with to be consistent and to be connected with their reality and their possibilities. Being present and at their events, meetings or community fairs, whenever we could, as well as showcasing the powerful video testimonials had a great impact building that relationship, building that trust.
Yeah, thank you both for that. Let me follow up, Orlando, there with the testimonial. Social proof point is a key in marketing, that the word of the customer that had a successful experience is more likely to be trusted than the word of the service provider. And you've mentioned this, and I see it in your media materials. And how do you do that for both the ticket holder, the beneficiary proof point, but also for the partners, which is a slightly different proof point? If I work with OMSI as an organizational partner, what's that proof point? Do you do both?
Yeah, we do both. Actually, we share with the organizations that we are targeting to join and deliver services together, or to promote referrals from organization to OMSI or to OMSI to other organizations. And we share all these materials that we have been setting up and designing for the past years. Also, we send them links with the video testimonials so they can have access, direct access to this, the voice of our beneficiaries. And that's very important to give a face and to give a voice to the service that we deliver each day.
One of the things that we do with the lives, we actually go to the businesses and to the organizations that we are having a partnership with. We just don't keep it in the OMSI realm. We go there. And we promote their businesses, and we promote their services, and we let the beneficiaries that are from the area to contact us, because there's businesses that are willing, and we're there with the business partner on a live, promoting them as a business, but also promoting the Ticket to Work program as an opportunity for employment.
That's a fantastic strategy, and we know that when the disability community knows that employers are supporting disability employment, then they're more likely to win that business from that part of the community too. So a real nice win-win-win going on in your model there. All right, one more question for you before I open it back up for everybody here. We were walking through kind of a staffing approach, a description from Elisa. I have the same question for you. It seems the two of you are quite busy covering all of Puerto Rico and then the U.S. Virgin Islands. And you literally have a tour road show, and it sounds like an airplane or boat show too. How much time goes into relationship marketing and what we're discussing here today? And what's the staff size and commitment that you all have?
Well, first of all, about the time, we have adopted all these marketing initiatives as part of our daily jobs. We don't see that direct service delivery is not connected to also the marketing strategies to not only serve our local and the ones that we have right now, tickets assigned, but also the potential beneficiaries. So we don't see this time spending is a time investment to serve not only the ones that we have now, but also other beneficiaries to expand the message. And also in terms of if we can move to the cost part, the only initiative that we have been investing in terms of budget or money, it's the media tour. Sometimes in social media, but it's the only the media tour initiative that has some investment in terms of money. Everything else is just thinking about that we have been adopting this marketing strategies as the daily job.
I appreciate that and acknowledge that it brings an entrepreneurial mindset to do that. Like each of you are doing multiple things, but it allows you to learn and apply much more quickly. And it sounds like it's been part of your successful formula for growth too. That's fantastic. I appreciate that description. Let's switch over now. I'm going to bring Elisa back in, and I have some questions for you both, and then we'll bring in our team to get some questions from the audience too. And now we're looking at completely different models, of course, so we should anticipate some potentially different descriptions here. But let's talk about when you think of assigned ticket holders and kind of a general ballpark percentage, what percent comes through relationships and those that we're talking about today versus more of your direct contact? So let's go back to Elisa for that. So when you think about either through a relationship pipeline or direct contact pipeline, what's your description at GenX?
I'd say approximately 25% of our assigned ticket holders come to us through established relationships with partner organizations, advocates, and agencies. The remaining 75% come through direct contact. It's often individuals who are either independently searching for guidance or were referred internally through our broader Social Security services. A significant portion of our ticket holders are already receiving some form of disability-related services when they come to us. So we see our role as complementary rather than as duplicative, and we frequently collaborate with existing providers to ensure services are coordinated and the ticket holder experiences a seamless support system.
Yeah, thanks for that. And it makes sense. 75% are coming through a service system already. And then you're, in effect, trying to get those that are interested into return to work services as a next phase of their service experience. Appreciate that, Elisa. How about Magali in Orlando? When you think of that question, what percent's coming through partnerships versus direct service? How's it for OMSI?
We have the more or less the same percentage as Elisa, except that ours is 75% relationship and 25% direct contact, because since we are in so many events and we have partnership with so many different organizations and businesses. So may most of our signed tickets come from those events, from those relationships and from the different visits that we have during the month and the routes and all the strategies we implement. So it's mostly the same, 75-25, but 75 from relationship and 25 from direct contact.
And it's because also we see the social media interaction as relationship building. So that's why the beneficiaries that come through social media ads or Facebook Live, we see them as a direct result of a relationship with our followers.
Thank you for that. And it makes sense. Each model has a business perspective designed differently, but each one valuing relationship marketing to tap into kind of your next customer per se. When you speak to media and your investments in media, you mentioned it was one of your costs outside of people either doing other duties as assigned or multiple folks always thinking about marketing work. How do you tap into tools that come out of Social Security or the Ticket Program Manager? I see you use the Ticket to Work logo a lot. Is there a connection from some of the tools or the things that you learn or receive from the outreach team that are embedded in your media tour?
When people in our area, when they see the Ticket to Work, that's already the symbol. So we're letting them know we offer diverse services. It's not only Ticket to Work, but we are workforce. So we offer different services. But when they see the Ticket to Work symbol, they already know that this is where the beneficiaries know this is the place where I'm coming to for I could get this service. So we have in all our materials, promotional materials, we have our logo and the logo of the Ticket to Work. And we also have used a lot of your materials. And what we have done is that we have translated it into Spanish. So we have it in English that we don't have to translate it because you already did that. and we translate it into Spanish with our logo and everything like that. We have both languages. Those who need to read it in English, they have it in English, and those who need it in Spanish, we have translated it into Spanish. So we do use your materials a lot.
And that's why we had to create all these marketing materials because of the language. We had to promote the Ticket to Work program as Boleto al Trabajo in Spanish, and also all the materials that we hand out.
Well, thanks for that, and thanks for translating it to meet your beneficiaries where they want to be met, and that would be in their preferred language. And I know our communications and outreach team appreciates hearing the materials they generate are getting repurposed in ways that make use for ticket holders. Elisa, we didn't talk about this one, but how about you? When you get into marketing, I know it's 25% is through the relationship side, but really 100% is when talking to ticket holders and providing them content about Return to Work and Ticket to Work. What kind of materials do you use? Is that stuff you're generating yourself, or are you repurposing content?
We do. Obviously, we use some of the, Ticket to Work language in terms of, what the three criteria for eligibility are, the trial work period, the extended period of eligibility, extended Medicare, expedited reinstatement. But also, of course, develop our own materials where we will, target the specific audience that we are trying to reach. So we do hold quarterly webinars, a live webinar, and, we market the date of the webinar to the beneficiaries that we have been able to perform proactive outreach to. And we get a great turnout, a great number of registrants that come to that webinar to learn more about the program. They get to ask questions. And then even the ones that registered but couldn't make it, we send the webinar out. So we send the recording and the transcript out to them. If they registered but they couldn't make it, or they forgot, or they had a technical problem, we will send that whole webinar out to them so that if they missed it, they don't have to worry about missing a bunch of information or waiting another 3 months until our next one. They get that in their email. And so we do get a great deal of response from that.
Yes, thanks for those examples. And I know you include a video right on your service, Ticket to Work part of the Gen X website too. So I appreciate both of those responses. There's some similarities, and then each organization is doing things uniquely too, based on your service model. Makes a lot of sense. All right, so a final question here that we prepared, and it's really this my favorite question always. It's, you know, you've been doing this relationship marketing and service expansion and growing your EN business. What's a piece of advice that you would share with another EN about the importance of relationship marketing and really what you've learned along the way that you would share to them? So, Elisa, let's stick with you for that.
Piece of advice would be to lead with advocacy and trust before focusing on growth. Spend time educating the beneficiaries, the partners, and stakeholders, even when there's no immediate referral or assignment at stake. Because when people clearly understand that your priority is protecting benefits, preventing overpayments, and honoring a beneficiary's readiness for work, those relationships form naturally. So consistency matters. You show up, you follow through, be willing to collaborate. And over time, those genuine relationships built on transparency and shared goals will do more to raise awareness and grow your EN than any single marketing effort could ever offer.
Thanks, Elisa. That's an important and wise piece of advice there. Lead with that so marketing can tell that story. I love it. All right, and Magali in Orlando, what's some advice that you would share after the years of you doing relationship marketing and what you've learned?
Well, first of all, believe that the services that you are delivering are the best in the world, and the world has to know it. And for the word to spread out, you have to build strong relationships for more to get more people engaged in the service and the program. Collaborate a lot with many and diverse organizations. It doesn't have to be necessarily organizations that are directed or purpose to serve people with disabilities, but also you can target organizations that will get the message out to their network, to their relatives, to their family, to their friends, because sometimes we only promote the Ticket to Work program among the organizations that serve people with disabilities, but also we have a bigger and broader network that we can reach out. And that's why we have been increasing our reach to diverse populations in Puerto Rico.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Orlando. It really reminds me of a TED Talk from Tanya Menon. If you haven't followed Tanya Menon, she's a professor from Ohio State University, and her TED Talk is titled, The Secret to Success is the Person You Haven't Met Yet. Orlando speaks to weak ties in networking and relationship building. If we're always going after the same community, then we're going to end up running out of people. So if we start looking in the communities that we aren't commonly serving, then we can find potential richness in new collaborations. So I really love that. And I call out Tanya's TED Talk. If you're interested, I would encourage you to check that out too. All right. At this time, I thank Elisa, Orlando, and Magali for our prepared moderated exchange. And now we're going to switch over and go to our Q&A with our attendees. And to do that, if we could have the slide deck brought back up, just a couple of reminders about the Q&A. Of course, we have the chat, and there's comments going inside of chat, and you can put questions there. If you do want to ask a question via phone, recall that's a two-step process. Press *5 to raise your hand. We'll unmute you and call on you, but then you need to press *6 to ask your question. If you are on MS Teams and you prefer to ask your question aloud, you could use the raise your hand feature. Catherine and our team will call on you and we'll unmute you. Please state your name, your EN name, and ask your question. If there are many questions, we ask you to limit it to one question per person so we could get around. If none of those work and you prefer to send your questions to us, you can do so at enoperations@ssa.gov. Okay, with that, I'd ask if we could have Brittany on our production team to come in. Brittany, I've been unable to track the chat, comments, or questions, so let's check in with you to see if we have anything for our panelists.
Hello there. Yes, we had some communication between Kim and Elisa during the meeting. Kim was asking if there was a charge for marketing services for Gen X, and as well as do they consult with other ENs, such as tracking performance, leveraging the existing infrastructure. Elisa did respond to her. She let her know that there is some cost associated with attending conferences, travel, and getting marketing materials. They currently do not consult with other ENs at this time. We also had another question from Chara, and she asked about the conferences that Elisa usually attends. Are they with insurance carriers, attorneys, or employers? And I will let Elisa answer that one aloud, please.
So I wanted to also mention for the question regarding EN consulting, if you would like to email me after this, I believe that they're going to share my email address, and I can, you know, kind of get some information from you and see what you're looking for and, you know, see what we can do to maybe, you know, give you the best guidance. In terms of the conferences, pretty much NOSCR, which stands for the National Organization of Social Security Claimant Representatives. And it's a professional association for attorneys and advocates specializing in Social Security, disability insurance, and SSI cases. So it advocates for improved disability programs, it offers legal education, and operates a referral service to connect claimants with legal representatives. So that conference is attended annually. Also, the NENA conference, the National Employment Network Association. I attended one last year. I'm going to attend another one this year at the end of August. They have a different locations every year, but that's basically a whole network of different employment networks. There's people from TPM there. There's people from Social Security there. You will find other networking opportunities there from, you know, people that do are associated with some of these legal organizations that do advocate for SSDI beneficiaries or advocate for anyone in a status of disability. So there's lots of networking opportunities there as well. I know I haven't attended this yet, but I know that someone from our management team attended ACDR most recently, which refers to advocates, counselors, and representatives for the disabled. And again, there's partnership opportunities. There's, you know, people there that you can network with, talk to about your service. You know, if you have materials that you'd like to keep, obviously you're not going to necessarily broadcast your, you know, company's logo or anything as like this, you know, marquee or anything, but you can certainly provide handouts to others and, you know, say, hey, you know, this is what we do. This is our model. So there's always ways from attending those conferences that you can network and really get a good idea of what opportunities are out there for relationship building or even partnerships.
Thank you, Elisa, bringing up both NOSCR and NENA as conferences. If I'm not mistaken, NOSCR was just recently, and the Commissioner of Social Security actually spoke at NOSCR too. You could learn more about these by doing some Google searches, or if you have questions, you could always email us at enoperations@ssa.gov. We can get back to you, or we could forward those to our panelists too. Brittany, let me circle back to you to see if we have any more comments or questions in chat.
There are no other questions in the chat at this time.
All right. And the same, let me go to Catherine, check in with you, Catherine. I'm not able to see raised hand, so I'll just check in to see if you can give us an update there.
Hi, Derek. No, sir. No raised hands at this time.
Okay. Well, with that, I have a question.
We have one now. Oh. Sorry. Do you want to transition to the, we have Michael.
Let's proceed with Michael.
Okay. Michael, you have access to audio and video if you want to ask your question.
Good morning / afternoon, everyone. So my question is in reference to reimbursements. We're having some issues where we're having a request and they went through fine. Then automatically there's SSA saying that there's a blind SGA that's not met and our client is not under blind benefits. And so we keep getting these errors like a code 27. And so when there's an error on the portal side, our instruction has always been we have to have the client go to the Social Security office to get these errors fixed. And my question is, when there are errors made, how come the people who make the errors can't fix them? Because our client is not blind. We do have some clients who are blind, and as the blind SGA would matter to them. But this client, we double-checked for the benefit plan inquiry, and they verified that they were not blind. Why do these errors happen, and how can we not have to make our clients go down to the Social Security office to get these errors fixed? Is there anything else we can do? Is that it?
Thank you, Michael, for your question. We're not going to answer the question here today because the purview of our topic is about relationship marketing and EN Essentials does not get into that topic. But we will get into chat where we want to receive the question because we want you to get your question answered. So if our team could drop an appropriate email address so Michael could get connected with the correct department, that would be outstanding. Because we want to make sure that there's a successful outcome for what you just described. We do encourage questions, just to reiterate, you know, we're looking at relationship marketing and our guests are here today to focus in on that content area. I do have a question that, you know, when we went through examples of relationship building and partnerships, you know, one of the ones that we talk frequently about is governmental agencies. So I'd love to ask OMSI, with your relationship as a workforce system entity that's a ticket to work service provider, can you provide some examples of how you develop relationships with either federal or Commonwealth agencies as part of your broader relationship marketing?
Most of our relationships are our governmental relationship are with the municipalities, because in Puerto Rico, the 78 municipalities each have a mayor. So this mayor provides services for the citizenship of their municipality. So our relationship is with the mayor and with the other officials that provide services for the for their municipality. So this is how, since we have offices that are under OMSI's workforce in 8 municipalities. So our board is made up of 8 mayors, and these relationships have been established for us to give services as one company to all these services. Under each municipalities, there are also nonprofit organizations. So this relationship, this governmental relationship, transitions us to other relationship, to businesses that goes to the municipality to get their permits and all this. So our governmental is mainly on the local government in Puerto Rico. I don't know if you want
to. And also we have reached out to other local areas for the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act funds. These are called American Job Centers. Those are centers with comprehensive services in terms of training and employment. And we have been reaching out to all other 14 local areas in Puerto Rico and also in the U.S. Virgin Islands. We are part of the of the partners at their local American Job Center of the Department of Labor.
Well, thank you for both of those descriptions. I think the first part is understand somewhat your local agency organizational structure, and potentially another way of saying that, understand who really has the authority and then follow those relationships. And then the other part is that if there are job centers out there that don't have a relationship with a Ticket to Work employment network, there's an opportunity to help them fulfill services because you have a specialty to offer. It sounds like both of those have worked quite well for OMSI. All right, I have another question too. We'll stick with OMSI, but then go to Gen X in a second. So if you had to pick one marketing strategy, you couldn't do them all, which was the one that's just so critical you want to let go of it?
That's a very difficult question, Derek. non-paid, the Ticket to Work route initiative, because it delivers the services right at their communities or at their municipalities. So we move to deliver service near them. So I would pick that one. And also in terms of massive coverage and the ones that we have to invest some funds, it will be the media tour, the paid media tour, because we can access residents from all parts of Puerto Rico through when one shot, through radio local stations, radio programs, TV programs, news outlets, all with one strategy across the island.
Well, this is Derek. Orlando, I saw what you did there. So you took one and made it into two. That was quite clever. And let's acknowledge that the first one is about meeting people where they are, but also building trust where they are and right. Getting out and being with people. That's really critical to you. And you led with that. The second one is the media outreach, and that reaches many people that you may never see when you visit right. Those locations too. Yeah, so
a if you can move the Ticket to Work route initiative, if you cannot move from your location, then the media tour will bring the beneficiaries to you.
Right. And then Spanish, is that Ruta?
Ruta Ticket to Work.
Yeah, I see it on your materials. I'm learning. All right. And Elisa, when you consider 25% of your incoming ticket holders are coming through relationship marketing, when you think of the marketing work you do, what would be the go-to, the one that you would protect the most?
We receive quarterly lists from Social Security of current beneficiaries that we proactively market to and reach out to via SMS, email, and robocall. And we request a certain number of beneficiaries and a certain type of, profile of, work history within the last 3 years, whether we want just SSDI or concurrent. So you could filter that out. And when we receive that list, we have a good 3 months to perform these proactive outreaches. And we get the majority of our referrals come from that, just proactively marketing our services, having these online sort of text chats with them where they say, what's it about? Can you give me a little bit more information? And then they'll say, yeah, sure. Can I sign up? So that's the one thing that I think I would, guard with my life. But also, that's also who we do the webinars with as well. So we'll market our webinar to that population of people from that specific list. And we get, like I said, a great turnout on that. So if they didn't show their interest during our initial outreach by text messaging or by emails or robocalls, they will learn that webinar exactly exactly what the program is, and then that sparks interest. So I think that is the one thing that if I had to choose anything, it would be that.
Thanks for that, Elisa. It brought in some descriptions you had about your webinar activity and other ways that you increase education and awareness, but it also connects in with the ticket program's business marketing program, and together those become quite powerful for you. Thank you. Let me circle back in with Brittany just to check to see if Brittany has any other questions to bring out from the audience. Brittany?
Hello, Derek. We don't have questions per se. We have some comments from Kim. She said, unfortunately, we've been doing the EM marketing campaign with the Social Security provide the list for about 5 years, and we're running into the same names issue. Just like Derek said, if you pick from the same population, you won't get any newer results. I believe she's responding to a comment made by Omar as well, and we're in regards to the marketing business process.
Thanks, Brittany.
No more questions.
Yeah, so it's a variety of marketing techniques are important. You can have a well to go to, but to try to blend that in with a variety of strategies, it is the idea of finding partners that are going to bring you a different pipeline. And I think we've heard about some of those today, but we appreciate sharing that feedback. And I would encourage you, you have different points of entry to the program, but if there's something that you're feeling today, like you want to follow up on, you can come through us at enoperations@ssa.gov, and our team will be able to pull in the right folks to explore that further. Well, we are coming to that point of the end of our 90 minutes together, and I'd just like the opportunity to thank our panelists, Magali in Orlando from OMSI in Puerto Rico, and Elisa with Gen X joining us today. It's been an interesting exchange, and we appreciate the work you're doing to help ticket holders advance to try work, to explore work, and when all possible, to find full-time employment on their path to financial independence. So thank you so much. And we're seeing some applause and thumbs up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent. And with that, if we could proceed to the next slide, I'll go to wrap up our time together with a few closing remarks. As I mentioned earlier, we have some resources that we'd like to reemphasize or perhaps introduce to you if they're new. We have the EN Guide to Marketing and its complimentary workbook. There's two links here, and I believe they're being provided in chat as well. The Guide to Marketing explores a lot of possibilities in a whole section on relationship marketing. And in fact, there's what I feel like is a great page the team made about all the examples that were discussed today about types of entity and angle of approach for that entity. So if you take your mission, your values, and your services and supports and run through that, you can modify that. Well, once we understood that modification needed a form, we created the marketing workbook. So it helps you complete that. Some of us aren't marketing agents. We haven't gone and gotten degrees in marketing. So if you're learning on the job, these tools should help you become entrepreneurial, perhaps more like OMSI did when they went from direct service to also being marketers. And we also have some marketing-related training modules where we went through these details and two links in previous EN Essentials. Part one focused on the research and planning, and part two went to the specifics of the marketing strategies to promote your EN. Those are both available on the EN Essentials section of our training and events page. So let's proceed to the next slide, please. And again, thank you to our presenters today. We led off with Ellie Stinnett with her ticket evaluation update, and then Elisa Tease from Gen X Services, Magali De Jesus from OMSI, and also Orlando from Rivera from OMSI too. And we appreciated all the time that we've spent over the past months working together to get to know them and their services. And now to our wrap-up slide for our upcoming events. We have on May 27th, around the corner, our May Wise webinar. Registration is open and on the choosework.ssa.gov webpage. We appreciate all your assistance in helping your customers, including beneficiaries or interested ticket holders, become aware of the WISE webinars. We continue to have record-breaking registration and attendance, and we encourage you to share the May 27th event too. And next up for us, for our all calls, will be June 16th. There's an all-EN call that is scheduled. All of this is on our 2026 calendar of events. We encourage you to look at that on the yourtickettowork.gov webpage. We also encourage you to send an email to our EN development and training department at enoperations@ssa.gov with any feedback about today's session. Recommendations or ideas for future EN Essential events are also welcome. It's helped us make good choices and recommendations to SSA for their approval to draw content that helps ENs learn from each other and advance performance and compliance. And with that, thanks for joining this Relationship Marketing EN Essentials event. We appreciate your time, and this concludes today's webinar.